KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Straight ahead on KOMO.
I'm Charlie Harder joining you from inside what used to be known as Key Arena with an update on construction progress.
I'm Ryan Harris with why worries about Seattle's first pro hockey season starting on time can be put to rest.
67 degrees at 3 o'clock.
From ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. President Trump says the U.S. is ready to respond to a conflict like last weekend's attack on Saudi Arabian oil fields, and he's pretty sure who was behind
it. Certainly it would look to most like it was Iran.
But the president says he wants to be absolutely sure.
The United States is more prepared than any country in the history of in any history, if we have to go that way. As to whether or not we go that way, we'll see. We'll have to find out definitively who did it.
Meanwhile, the nation's top diplomat is working the phones.
U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has had several calls with U.S. allies and partners in the Middle East. According to the Iraqi Prime Minister's office, Pompeo is telling them U.S. information confirms Iraqi territory was not used in the drone attack on Saudi oil facilities. This weekend, Pompeo tweeted Iran is behind the attack, and three sources tell ABC News Pompeo was expected to provide proof of that in a meeting at the White House today between the president and senior administration officials. Iran denies any involvement. Inez de la Quintera, ABC News, Washington.
The attacks caused crude prices to spike, rising more than 11% here in the U.S. and for stocks to fall, the Dow gave up 143 points. Day one on the picket lines for UAW workers on strike at GM plants nationwide.
Dozens of union workers stand outside of the GM plant in Bowling Green, Kentucky, holding up signs and chanting. They're demanding better pay, more protections, and improved health care coverage. Jack Bowers is the UAW local chapter president.
Strike is not good for anybody at all. Not us, not the community, the whole ball of wax. It's all bad. So I want to get back to work, but I want to get back to work fairly. I want my brothers and sisters treated right. We want fair and equitable wages. And get back to work. Let's do what we do.
A top UAW official saying if GM had made its latest offer earlier, the union may not have gone on strike. Ryan Burrow, ABC News.
The last strike in 2007 lasted for 2 days. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The KOMO Afternoon News.
Good afternoon. Our KOMO News Time 302 with the sunshine in downtown Seattle at 67.
I'm Elisa Jaffe with Rick Van Sice, and here are the top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center. Two more cases of vaping illnesses are being reported in our state. Dr. Kathy Lofi with the Washington State Department of Health says that brings the total for the state to three.
We, at this point, have fewer cases than a number of the other states. They've really, had the most cases in Wisconsin and Illinois. So we are on the lower end.
The latest cases come from the Spokane area. A teenager and 20-year-old were hospitalized for lung problems after vaping back in August. Last week, it was revealed a teenager from King County was also hospitalized.
Boeing appears set to change the ways its senior engineers report to superiors. Right now, those engineers report to airplane program managers, but the Wall Street Journal reporting that they might soon report to the company's chief engineer instead. Boeing's board of directors appears to be making the change in order to help the engineers focus on design and safety and worry less about schedules and budgets. The final decision on the change is expected later this week when the board meets at the company's Chicago headquarters.
The head of the FAA is headed to the Seattle area so he can personally inspect changes to the 737 MAX program. Stephen Dixon tells CNBC he wants to see where things stand with the software updates. Dixon is a former pilot and he plans to fly a 737 MAX in simulator training during his visit.
Seattle's first NHL season should start as planned without a player lockout. KOMO's Ryan Harris with the update.
There was concern that either the National Hockey League or the players would opt out of their collective bargaining agreement, which could have resulted in a player lockout just as the new, as yet unnamed Seattle team was preparing to hit the ice. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman told us during his visit to Seattle earlier this year.
I hope we can extend or renew with minimum fanfare, and I'm not a fan of work stoppages, although we do have to have a system that works and keeps the game healthy and vibrant and entertaining as it is now, but I'm not looking for a fight.
The NHL Players Association announced it will stick with the agreement, which lasts until 2022. There's also word that talks between the players' union and the league continue, so there's also a chance the collective bargaining agreement might be extended and push back the chances of any trouble past Seattle's first couple of seasons in the NHL. Ryan Harris, KOMO News.
I'm Charlie Harger, joining you from inside the Seattle Center Arena. Construction crews are here right now. We're getting a look at progress. I'm looking at excavators that have pulled out the floor of the arena. They plan on pulling it out throughout the entire footprint of the arena. It is a lot of progress they've made over the past couple of months. A lot more left to do. The hope is to have this open by 2021.
And we'll have a closer look at that story after Como traffic and weather on the fours at 3:04. Let's get to Tama Fulton.
We have a lot going on in the south end right now. In Kent, a crash on northbound 5 at the exit to Highway 516 is fully blocked with State Patrol, and they're on the scene. They're not going to let drivers use that exit until they get the crash cleared away. The earlier stall in Federal Way on northbound 5, just north of 320th Street, has now been cleared. Southbound 5 is rolling slowly between Highway 18 and Federal Way all the way into the Port of Tacoma Road. A crash in Puyallup on southbound 9th Street Southwest just before 31st Avenue Southwest is causing a backup from 15th Avenue Southwest. Also in Puyallup, still watching a crash on southbound Highway 161 at 128th Street involving a bicyclist. That's causing a backup of about 5 blocks to the scene. This traffic report sponsored by Papa Murphy's. Tuesdays just got better thanks to Papa Murphy's. Pick up your favorite large pizza on Tuesday for only $12. That's any large pizza made from scratch with the freshest ingredients at Papa Murphy's. They make it, you bake it. Our next Como traffic at 3:14.
Talking about weather now, and cloudy, a chance of showers tonight, but it really increases tomorrow. More rain, up to an inch possible tomorrow with highs in the 60s. Rain showers continue Wednesday before we start to dry out on Thursday. And with the sunshine in downtown Seattle, 67 degrees. You're in the middle of 20 minutes of nonstop news on Como at 3:06.
The former Key Arena is just a shell of its former self, with crews hard at work preparing it for a reopening 2 years from now. We sent Como's Charlie Harger inside the noisy construction zone to check out the progress.
You can hear behind me the excavators, the digging. Right now, I am watching just piles and piles of dirt being moved inside the Key Arena. I shouldn't call it the Key Arena. The Seattle Arena is something they're calling it for now. They plan on digging out the entire arena footprint down 15 feet. They say what that will do is give it a double of the square footage, something like 800,000 square feet. Ken Johnson is the VP in charge of the construction on this project. Ken, what are we looking at right now?
Well, what you're looking at is a project that we've talked about for a long time, which is the old bowl of the arena is gone. And you can look around, you can say there's no concrete, there's no anything here except for the iconic roof. So what you're looking behind us now is the iconic roof is being held up by temporary support, all columns all around it, so we can start go digging down.
And we're way down, aren't we?
Well, right now we're down about the floor. We're going to go another 15 feet, but what's most important is the entire rim will be going down about 60 feet. A lot of dirt to move.
It is a lot of progress they've made over the past couple of months. A lot more left to do. How much weight are we holding up? You have these steel beams behind us.
The roof weighs 44 million pounds, so a lot of good engineering thinking had to go into how we hold that up on a temporary basis.
And you have a massive structure in the middle of the key propping it up.
Yeah, that's a shoring tower. That's just another basis of support while we're temporarily building this new arena.
And the concrete outer supports that we have grown so familiar with, they're temporarily going away. Now,
temporarily, they're not doing their job because we're going underneath them. The nice thing is once we built this new arena, we'll reconnect those, and when you walk into the entrance of Key Arena, it'll be just like going in the late 60s to watch the Supersonics.
And last thing, Ken, your construction workers seem really excited and eager in talking about this.
Look at everybody who's working on this project knows it's a special project. They're exciting. They show up every day. They're working hard. It's a good one.
Ken Johnson, who's supervising the project here at the arena. Thanks, Ken.
Charlie Harger, a noisy Charlie Harger on the scene there. Kids in public schools have a lot more simplified dress code this year in the Seattle district, while other schools have gone in the opposite direction. Como Sue Romero has more.
A top, bottoms, and shoes. That's Seattle's new ultra-simple dress code this year. The district's Ronald Boy worked with students at Garfield who said girls felt targeted because old rules banned short skirts and tank tops. Now he says parents reach out to him.
Thanking me, saying that they're relieved that we're not worrying about silly things anymore in dress code, that we're putting the responsibility on parents and students to dress themselves for school.
Meanwhile, three schools in Everett now require uniforms. Boy says he understands why some support uniforms, but he prefers letting students express themselves.
It's going to create identity safe spaces for our students, and it's also going to allow our staff to refocus on what's most important, and that's providing instruction to our students, not wasting time on things that just don't matter.
Sue Romero, Como News.
Thanks to an unusual discovery on I-405, the show will go on.
Somebody help me, I can't breathe.
While on patrol last week, a Bothell police officer found two guitars and other musical equipment alongside the Bothell-Everett Highway overpass to I-405. He tweeted out a photo of one of the guitars, and less than a half hour later, a person who knew members of the band Rucker recognized a guitar and sent the tweet to some of the band members. They were in Tacoma on their way to a gig in Portland. They stopped, checked the trailer, and sure enough, it was unlatched. Their equipment was gone. They turned around, headed back to Bothell, and were reunited with their stuff. The Portland gig was canceled that night for an unrelated reason, so they didn't even miss a show. Amanda Factor, Como News.
Lucky break, 3:10. Update on sports now. Bill Swartz is here and some well-deserved ear scratching behind a cougar and a dog.
Pac-12 honors to be exact. Rick, Washington State quarterback Anthony Gordon is the top offensive player in the league for the second week in a row. Washington safety Miles Bryant gets the Defensive Player of the Week award. He had two interceptions and a sack. We'll talk more about that in Talking Dogs in about 15 minutes on Como. 19th ranked Wazoo opens Pac-12 play Saturday night at home against UCLA. Number 22 Washington heads to Provo, Utah in a battle with BYU. Our coverage starts at 7:30 Saturday morning, and then a 12:30 kickoff on both Como News Radio and television. Double dose. Seahawks back from Pittsburgh with plenty to celebrate from yesterday's 28-26 win over the Steelers. Seattle is off to its first 2-0 start since winning the Super Bowl in 2013. This is a good omen. Pete Carroll turned 68 yesterday. He got the game ball because that was his 100th Seahawks win.
It's a really important freaking lesson because it don't matter where we go. We can go wherever we need to go and get the job done.
I wish Pete would get more enthused. You know, he's always sedate, he's laid back. The youngest 68-year-old coach ever. The Steelers, oh my gosh, have lost quarterback Ben Roethlisberger for the season. He's going to need elbow surgery. And Sunday, the Saints come to town to play the Seahawks without Drew Brees. He has a torn ligament in his passing hand, his thumb, and so now it's Teddy Bridgewater to play quarterback for the Saints. Sports updates at 10:40 after the hour. Bill Swartz on the home of the Huskies, Como News.
Thank you, Bill. Como News time. 3:12.
The ever-eloquent coach of the Washington State Cougars, Mike Leach, described his former quarterback, Gardner Minshew, this way.
He'd be a really good coach. Part of it, he's just a really smart person. I mean, he's, you know, none of my quarterbacks have been dumb.
The mustachioed Minshew is drawing national attention as a rookie starting quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Washington Post, Cindy Bourne, is keeping a close eye on Minshew and spoke with Como's Tom Hutler.
Cindy, he was not a high draft pick, sixth round, and certainly wasn't expected to be starting except for an injury to Nick Foles. So that injury has him now leading the team. I guess some people thought, well, they'll pick up a veteran quarterback to take over, but so far, seems like they're sticking with the Mississippi mustache.
Well, you know, he was the leading passer in the NCAA last year. The Jags lost by a point. I mean, he led them down the field for what would have been the game-winning drive if they converted the two-pointer at the end. Why would you not take a chance on him? I mean, this is a kid that Mike Leach, as you mentioned, loved. He recruited him to Washington State by saying, you know, do you want to go play in Alabama or do you want to come to Washington State and lead the nation in passing? Either way, we're going to lead the nation in passing. So, you know, he did. And in fairness, he's a great story with the mustache and he's personable. But, you know, this is also a smart, mature kid who stepped in after the suicide of Tyler Helinski.
Yeah, he was thrust into that role because of the Tyler Helinski suicide. So, you know, had that not chain of events happened, who knows where this would be for him today. But you mentioned his persona. He's got a lot of charisma. Last year at Washington State, he could have run for mayor of that town and won hands down. But he's got some quirks. He is a mature and very intelligent kid, but he also has some quirks, like there are rumors that he works out in the buff.
There are. Well, not totally in the buff. He's wearing a headband and his aviator glasses, so, you know, sunglasses. So he has something on. But, yeah, one of the, I think Leonard Fournette, the running back for the Jaguars, was saying, well, you know, that's a little college. But, hey, if it works for him, you know, if he plays well here with Nick Foles out for probably at least 8 weeks, I think, with this collarbone injury, they don't care. And you know what? Everybody's going to get a chance to see him on Thursday night because they're the national TV game on Thursday night against the Titans.
Certainly getting an opportunity to shine. And even if Nick Foles comes back and resumes as the starter, it looks like Gardner Minshew has certainly made an impact and made an impression on a lot of people around the league.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, very favorably. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. There's some tough games coming up, and the Jaguars have all sorts of problems on the field. You might have seen their coach and one of their defensive players getting into a fist fight on the sideline yesterday. But on a day when Ben Roethlisberger's out for the season, Drew Brees is going to have thumb surgery in all likelihood, you know, they're kind of dropping like flies here. This is kind of a feel-good story. It's a fun story, a light story.
Absolutely. Well, you cover it very well in the Washington Post. Who's Gardner Minshew? Jaguars rookie quarterback is more than mustache. That is her article in the Washington Post. You can read it at WashingtonPost.com. That's Cindy Bourne.
And that's Como's Tom Hudler.
An update on Como AAA traffic every 10 minutes on the force, of course. How are we doing, Tama?
Northbound 5 at 236th in Montlake Terrace. Watch for a crash. It's been moved over to the right shoulder, but it is causing a distraction, and traffic is moving very slowly from 175th to the scene. In Seattle, the earlier police activity on southbound 2nd Avenue at Union has been cleared away. It was causing some slowing through the area. Southbound 405 through Bellevue is just a struggle right now from Northeast 4th Street all the way into Newcastle. In Kent, a crash on northbound 5 at the exit to Highway 516 is fully blocked, and traffic is moving slowly approaching that scene. This traffic report is sponsored by Westin Hotels and Resorts. Experience wellness offerings like the Eat Well menu, on-demand workout gear, and signature heavenly bed. Explore at Westin.com, a member of Marriott Bonvoy. Our next Como traffic at 324.
We've got a chance of showers in the forecast for this evening, and then rain tomorrow, and rainy and breezy with a high near 63 degrees, and more showers in the forecast for Wednesday. Right now in Seattle, we have some cloudy skies and 67 degrees at 316.
Stay connected. Stay informed. Seattle's only 24-hour news station, Como News.
With Elise Jaffe, I'm Rick Fansize, and our editor is Jeremy Grader.
And some of the stories we are following, the Manhattan District Attorney's Office is going after 8 years of President Trump's personal and corporate tax returns. The New York Times reports a subpoena has been sent to Trump's New York accounting firm. It's part of a broader investigation into a hefty hush money payment that former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen made to porn star Stormy Daniels before the 2016 election.
Bill and Melinda Gates are not backing down from honoring India's prime minister despite concerns about human rights abuses in the disputed Kashmir region. A dozen protesters delivered thousands of petition signatures to the Gates Foundation headquarters today. Prime Minister Narendra Modi is being honored for a sanitation initiative that improved access to toilets.
Certainly, it would look to most like it was Iran.
President Trump today said it's looking like Iran is behind the large attacks on Saudi oil facilities.
We're having some very strong studies done, but it's certainly looking that way at this moment.
Trump added that it was a huge attack that could be met with an attack many times larger by our country. ABC's Inez de la Cutera joins us on the Como Newsline from Washington. President Trump also said he didn't want war with Iran, but that
the United States is more prepared than any country in the history of in any history, if we have to go that way.
And that's probably what was most concerning out of this press conference here when he spoke to reporters. He was next to the Crown Prince of Bahrain, took questions. That was probably his most interesting comment. He said he doesn't want war with Iran, but that the U.S. is more prepared for a conflict than any other country in history. He also said, with all that being said, we'd certainly like to avoid it, referring to war. And he said that Secretary Pompeo and other administration officials would soon go to Saudi Arabia for talks. He's also said that he hadn't promised Saudi Arabia that the U.S. would protect it. He said we have to sit down with the Saudis and work something out. But of course, this all comes, all his comments, which seem to be kind of de-escalating everything here, they come after he tweeted earlier today that the U.S. was locked and loaded pending verification, which is, you know, what kind of was most worrying here was when you're talking about locked and loaded, that typically refers to military action. So the big question here, and still is, the big question, whether they will take military military action.
What kind of pushback are we seeing from Iran? Because Iran has denied any responsibility for this. Mike Pompeo, has he shown any evidence of Iran's involvement? Because Yemen's rebels are taking credit for the drone strikes.
That's right. Yemen's rebels, the Houthi rebels, are claiming responsibility. Pompeo doesn't seem to believe them. He has repeatedly said that he believes Iran is behind the attacks. Iran has denied the attacks. And the big question now as well is whether the two, you know, President Trump and President Rouhani of Iran will be meeting when they're both at the UN next week. Iran is now saying they're ruling out that meeting, so it doesn't seem like they're going to have any kind of pull aside to talk one-on-one about all of this. But Iran's certainly pushing back on this idea that they were behind it.
The attacks just got to the core of the Saudi Kingdom's oil-making facilities. What are the ramifications and what are the concerns? Because the president said he's not worried about a spike in global oil prices.
Right. He's trying to downplay those fears, but analysts, AAA, are all saying that it looks like gas prices might go up. So analysts this morning were saying that they're likely to rise anywhere from 10 to 25 cents a gallon as early as this week. And this would be, you know, a direct result of these strikes. And AAA is saying, you know, that would probably leave the average pump price at $2.71 a gallon. So, you know, this everything that's going on here with Iran and these drone strikes is going to have real repercussions around the world, and certainly something the average American is going to probably end up feeling on a day-to-day basis.
ABC's Inez de la Cutera from Washington. Thank you.
Como News Time 320. All right, let's get right to our Como Propel Insurance Money Update. See how we started the week in red. Jim Chesko has more.
Fresh concerns about slowing global growth weighed on stocks today with the Dow Industrial's 8-session winning streak snapped. The market's downturn came as oil prices surged following weekend drone strikes that knocked out about half of Saudi Arabia's daily crude production. The Dow Jones Industrial slid 142 points, the Nasdaq Composite fell 23, and the S&P 500 eased at 9. But news of a potential new conflict in the Middle East since a rally in shares of defense companies. Raytheon jumped 2.7%, and both Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman gained more than 2% each. That's your money now.
Brad Pitt, a movie, space, and a review. Part of our stress-free news. I think it'll put a smile on your face coming up.
The Como Morning News, Greg Hirschold and Manda Factor.
I like to think that we're getting people ready for their day when they wake up in the morning. The world's still spinning. We're just there to kind of guide them through it.
The most important thing is tell the truth and let people know what's going on.
I think people know that we're being genuine and trustworthy. What's your